woke up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Oh. Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
Oh, it's, it's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... That's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sun down.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes began.
Hello, and welcome back to Stacks and Jackson. Happy Halloween. Great pick there, Maddie. S&P futures are up. We're trying to rally here at the end of the month. Up 19 points. Dow up 144. NASDAQ up 80. So we're looking to go. We had a big bounce back yesterday in the market. And we've had, so really we're down, we're up a huge amount from quarter to three and let's say, Monday night. So we'll see if it lasts or if it, you always have these rallies. And I think this, well, I think we probably were down enough. And we're going to hang for a while. I think is the way things are going, we might be going to go lower, but I think we probably, just because our bounces have been back up to old highs, don't think that's going to happen all the time. I think we're here at this level and we're going to check it out for a while. Anyway, that's one man's opinion so far. I'm right, which is rare. Because if you actually grade yourself on your things in the market, you find out you're not right very often. I wish I could be one of these guys that like wasn't registered and everything, man, where I actually could always say I was right. God, I said that this was going to happen. This reminds me of this. This reminds me of that. You know, it's such BS. It's scary. Is Kevin with us?
Tom, that's, you have me for that.
Yes, I have you for that. By the way, radio station was interested in us yesterday, and they said we weren't liberal enough, Kevin.
And they listened to you yesterday?
I blame you. No, it's a, oh, no, I don't know. I guess. So I sent them a thing, and I said, I'm... Here's the kind of liberal I am, and I put the biography of Paul Douglas, Paul Simon, and Adlai Stevenson, and the response was, "Who are they?"
Well,
so I didn't get too far about that.
Okay, I could take a shot at never mind.
So I said I'm not exactly an Elizabeth Warren, Maxine Waters, Nancy Pelosi, but more like these guys liberal. The question of the thing came back is who are they?
You know, do cut up yesterday's show and give it to them because I think you guys got plenty on that edge.
Well, you better be careful because we've been going through. I went to American Heritage or something .com, and I've been checking you out, and I think you're right on the bubble of not being a citizen. Just saying.
Okay.
I mean, I think I'm on the bubble too because I think my mother probably was born, well, before my grandfather got his citizenship, so...
Oh, then she's revoked.
Then she's out.
Yeah, then that makes you out.
That makes me out. So, I don't know. I'm trying to figure if there's any way we could throw anybody out in this alleged cabinet. Like we find Navarro or Sarah Huckabee or Kellyanne or somebody's in the same boat as I am. I'd be happy to leave if I took one of them with me. Just saying. Does that make me liberal?
You took one of them, huh?
Yeah, I'll take one of them. I'll take one for the team.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you meant you got a traveling partner.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm not so sure I'd want to travel with
Travis. I think you and Sarah Huckabee Sanders would make a lovely couple.
I was thinking maybe I could possibly talk some sense into Kellyanne, but I think Sarah's too far gone with her dad. I think she's too far gone. She wouldn't know a lie if it stood up and slapped her in the face. She would know an untruth.
Well, you know what though, I, I'm I don't mean to forgive lying, but I will say that that's the job now, and you know the guys, the Josh Earnest and guys like that, they did the same thing. They went out and they would boldface lie, and I tend to discount any pronouncements I get from them, and I just expect it because that's their job now, is to go out and say what they're supposed to say. And the, you know, the last guy who didn't, and it was just a brief respite, was Tony Snow, who and it was a brief respite largely because he had cancer and had to give up the job almost as quickly as he had it. But he insisted, because he had to bail out the Bush administration, which was, you know, so poor at communicating. He had to bail them out, and he insisted on a seat at the table, essentially. And so he didn't. His job was to be more than mouthpiece. He had to actually go out, or you know, he actually had a say in policy. Other than that, that's what they do.
Isn't
I'm not going to skewer. I'll skewer all of them before I will skewer Sarah Sanders on it.
Well, didn't we go through now? It was obviously at a different level, okay, because people were getting killed. But didn't we, at the Nuremberg trials, basically set the principle now and forever that you're responsible for your stuff, and just following orders, just telling you what, saying what somebody told you to say isn't good enough? Aren't we the country who set that standard?
Yeah, Tom, I understand that, and I would really rather that they be honest. But it bugs me that I hear people whose, you know, outrage has peaked now because of Sarah Sanders, but didn't have a problem at all before.
See, I'm not in that group, as you know. I had a serious problem before. I don't want people lying to me. And you know what? As I read that thing from Mein Kampf with Adolf Hitler, wrote
Ooh,
about
Tom. That's like 4 minutes. You know how we used to have the.
No, I'm not going to do it again.
Over under on Pullman inventions.
Yeah,
now you know we're like 3 minutes in, and we got the over under.
Well,
on the Hitler.
The reason why the part that I'm focusing in on now is where he talked about, even if you lob this big lie out there, that even after all kinds of people of knowledge, I don't know how he worded it, essentially do everything to debunk it, because it is a lie. It's a whopper. That the entrails of it will last forever. That there still will people that don't believe any of the. And I read this. I'm looking at this article here last night. And by the way, you could get me a $1 bet today, but I don't think you have the stones to do it. Not because you don't have the buck, but I'm looking at this.
I don't have the buck either.
Yeah, well, no, I think you do, Randolph. I don't know what year this thing is. Is this time or the last election? But our president tweeted out yesterday that if you don't want the market to go down, you got to vote Republican. And I'm going to guess that if you went to one of your classes, do you have a class today? Just by the way, not that it's any of my business.
No, not today.
Oh, tomorrow?
No, I have one Friday.
All right, so I'm going to guess if you walk in and say which party is better for the stock market, I will bet you $1, Randolph, that 80% of the class says Republican.
Yeah, not sure what I'll get with that, and I can try it. But actually, if you ask me which party is better for the stock market, I would say the Federal Reserve Party. When it does what it does, and the stock market reacts.
Well, I mean,
could be good, could be bad, but there's more influence there than any place else.
Well, this guy, he only did this to 2015, but we can tell what happened since there. Said here from, I ran a quick analysis of the rate of return of volatility stock market from 1900 to 2015, so 115 years, for both Republican and Democratic presidents. See if I could find an answer. Here's what I found. The compounded annual growth rate stock market during the 659 months the Democratic president has been in power has been 12.15%. It's significantly better than the 735. I would have guessed there were more Democratic months. I'd have been wrong on that. So it's significantly better than during the 734 months the Republicans have been in power. Unfortunately, Republican presidents have only delivered a return of 7.4%. So they then looked at the volatility of stock market for both Democrats and Republicans, because they didn't want to judge just on rate of return. Unfortunately, Republican presidents come up short again. Republican presidents registered 7% higher market volatility than their counterparts. As a final attempt to make the case for Republicans, I examined the worst periods for investing since 1900. There were five periods where the market dropped more than 50% from peak to trough. Can anybody remember when those times were? Well, if you...
Tell us.
Well, they were in power during the Great Depression that ended in 1932. They were four of the five periods. One was Hoover. One was 73-74, which would have been Tricky Dick, right? That's right. It was Tricky Dick, correct? The tech wreck from 2000-2002. Yep. Housing crisis 2007-2008. The Democrats were only in power during one of them. If you can remember when that was. You probably can't remember since you weren't here. 1937. So, and I'm going to say, Kevin, that 80% of the population will bet you their last dime that the market has been better when Republicans have been in there. So is
So what do you suppose the causation is on that, though?
I don't think there's any. I think it's just...
good. Okay. So you're saying that that President Trump is his tweet is full of it, right?
Well, I mean, Obama had a much bigger...
It often is.
Yeah, I mean, he's totally full of it. I would say the way things have turned about now, okay, I would say that for this particular election, the way it's being set up, you know, and the Democrats have gone so totally off the wall with the regulations and some of them hate business and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to say that this particular election, if the Democrats win the House and the Senate, you're probably going to see a market drop. But over time, to say that, you know, my vote, you know, when people say vote your pocketbook, they mean vote Republican. And for 115 years, they've been wrong. If you look at the numbers. But I'm not going to say.
It's if you vote the stock market. But,
yeah.
I would argue that the stock market isn't the economy.
Well, but
anyway,
but you and I would, but how many people are left doing that? You and me. Everybody else looks at it and says, president must be doing a good job. We're up today. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I don't think that's the case. I really don't, Tom. I think the most people look at it and they wake up every day and say, "I still have a job in my, and it's not threatened." And if that's the case, then the economy's good. If that's not the case, then the economy's bad.
I sure hope you're. But I'm saying, the financial press is equated the two, and I hope the citizens are smart enough to not believe them. And I hope you're right.
The average person doesn't read the financial press either.
Maybe.
It doesn't mean they don't read any news. It just means they don't read the financial news.
Well, you see, that's where everybody has their I'm going to say the curtain they're behind. Because I listen to these people all day long. So I'm really in tune with it. But then somebody at night, I'll meet somebody and they'll say, "God, you see what they said on CNN?" I go, "I've never watched CNN in my life. What about facts? I've never watched them. I watch financial news all day. That's what I do for my clients." So yeah, I'm with you on that, Kevin. And not many people, but I'm saying but if you got on there, whatever side you were on, if you were to say, "Man, I think this policy is like really horrible." "Well, what do you mean? The market's up today." Like, okay. I mean, it is absolutely embedded in the financial press. Wouldn't you say, Matty? Am I right or wrong on that? Trump has to be doing a spectacular job.
Yeah, for those of you who live in that world, I think you have to be real careful not to let that kind of overload your sensibility about it.
I'll do that if the people listening to CNN and facts.
That's not a Tom Howe thing. That's like an everybody in that world thing that you have to worry about it because, you know, it is your livelihood. It is really important to you, but sometimes you need to go away from it and see what everybody else
is
saying.
But it absolutely has spilled out. I think you're a little bit you're going Southeast Michigan on me, in the sense that don't think that the average
Southwest.
An awful lot of people
entirely different.
No, an awful lot of people that even around the show, right or left, I mean, you'll get the exact same response from Lou or Brendan. "Well, things got to be good. My 401k is going up every month." So it's pretty much embedded among anybody anybody who's in their 40s, 50s, early 60s that has their retirement in a 401k that's, let's say, overloaded in stocks. Now, in the last month, not so hot. But they're going to say, "Well, I've done real well since the guy's been in there. Things must be going okay." I'm willing to put up with a lot as long as I get my statement every month and it's up. which is what really kind of where I'm going on this. I'm not saying that Brendan or Lou are dumb enough to say just because the market's up today that war doesn't count, you know, type of thing. You know what I'm saying? But the overall opinion is, God, the economy must be going good, and my statement's up every month. What's the problem?
I think the working class opinion is more tied to job security.
Okay, well, job security,
and,
yes,
and most people are working class.
But this particular week, the wage gains again were 0.2%. All right, so 0.2% times 12 gets you to 2.4, which by anybody's estimation is still behind the inflation rate, Kevin. I mean, it's, yep. Yes, people are better off having a job, but they're not keeping up. The only person who probably who's kept up at such a low level, it almost doesn't make any difference, is somebody who may be minimum wage, and minimum wage went from $8.50 to $10. On a percentage basis, they've probably kept up, but they were, you know, I don't know if it matters at that level.
The fact that, you know, hardly anybody's making minimum wage, so it's probably not a chief indicator. You know, I won't say it's a chief indicator because that would be attributing it to you, so we won't do that, but a lead indicator. You know, look, it's more job security more than anything else.
Yep. Well, does anybody think
after, especially because people in their 40s are still have vivid memories of what it was like 10 years ago.
Oh, gotcha. But does anybody really think that the jobs, I mean, when Carl was on, the jobs we've been adding at the low end and so forth, does anybody really think that somebody's second job at the Menards is all that stable? It's only good until the Menards slows down a little bit.
No, it's not, but fewer people are working second jobs now.
Well, I don't know about that. Well, everybody I talked to
almost does. I can only go by where I live, but yes, fewer people are working second
jobs. Well, that's a good thing. I mean, everybody, the people that I run into at Sunday morning in Menards and Home Depot, they're all delivering pizzas or doing something. And I don't know if those other jobs are counted. But, I mean, it's pretty hard to not count a job now, though. Huh? Even a pizza delivery guy probably has a paycheck, doesn't he? That has Social Security and everything. I'm not sure. How does that work? If I've ever done that.
I'm sure they get a paycheck.
What about the guys that do all the... Matty, who are the guys that'll deliver from any restaurant? I bet they don't get a paycheck.
Oh, the dine-in delivery guys?
Yeah, what's the name of that? Is it... What's the name of those dudes? I know our buddy Al has about three of them for his burger place. In fact, there's big competition in that, I think, Kevin. It's not Yelp.
Yeah. Around here, the service that picks up for various restaurants and takes it is dine-in delivery.
Okay, because that does not ring a bell here, but I think he said there's like three different ones that'll deliver. I mean, you call them, and if you dig up a restaurant, if I dig up, Kevin's place, there'll be a pop-up, you know, kind of on the Google. The pop-up will be the person who will deliver from there, and they'll like have the menu and everything right on their site. And they'll say, okay, if you want it delivered, it's $4 or $5 or something, and you essentially order through them.
Well, for instance, there's a Chinese place close to my house. There's a reserved parking spot for the delivery guys, the delivery company.
Matter of fact, I was at the... Tripoli a couple
and
weeks
so
ago.
So it just says it's reserved, and they just, you know, if you order for delivery, that's who they send.
Well, I was.
But you can also go directly to the dine-in website, and from there you can order from, you know, multiple restaurants if you want to.
By the way, is it still a crime if an Uber or Lyft guy one more time stops right in front of me, lets people out, or cuts me off? Can I kill him?
You can't kill them, but if you can get the basher arm for your attachment to your Suburban, you can probably just
crash
in on top of the car and yeah, put it out of business.
I mean,
that's legal.
They're no different than the legal cab drivers, Chief.
Yeah, but at least the cab driver, you know that it's a cab, so you're expecting it, and you know it's the guy's making his living, and you give him a little break. But the other guys,
these guys are all just former cab drivers.
But I'm saying they pull in front of you in like a car you don't know. It's an Uber. And all of a sudden, they'll stop in the middle of the street. And I mean, you're like, what are you doing? I'm down on these guys. Plus, I think, Kevin, I don't know about New York. I haven't been there in a while. You look at, they're talking about the impropriety that goes on in Illinois is so bizarre. You can't tell me that the entire hands-offness to these guys is not due to the Ramfather's brother being a big investor. And Ram probably has some piece of it, too. I don't know that for a fact. I mean, for God's sake, they've actually taken over. There is no absolutely zero law. Is there any law at all on these guys? Any? There's no registration. There's no taxing. There's no nothing. They just drive all over the damn place in the middle of traffic, staring at their cell phone or whatever they've got. Most of them have it up on the thing, but still, God, they're dangerous. And you know, at least cab drivers had, you know, you had to pay a thing. You had to have some kind of a. Do these guys even have to have a chauffeur's license? I don't think so. Do they? Why not?
No, it's a ride share.
But you're a chauffeur. You're taking somebody
You're just sharing a ride.
You're getting paid to haul somebody's fanny from point A to point B. That makes you a cab driver.
Ah, you're sharing a ride, Tom.
Ah, I.
you got to understand that we are double talking our way through this. That's the business model.
I see. The business model is double talk. I love that. Well,
it's sort of like being in politics.
Did you ever see? We only got 2 minutes left here, but one of the Star Trek episodes was that they went to some base or some, you know, and so they plunked the Sun Enterprise upstairs and they're going down to this party, and Picard and Riker are all pissed off. They're going, "We don't want to go to this party because all the guy does is talk. He's Mr. Double Talk."
Oh, I know which one you're talking
about. Yeah, so Data, the computer says, "I've always wanted to research that." So he goes down and he sets himself up to be in the double talk mode. And to listen to the two conversations between the two of them was absolutely spectacular. Whoever wrote that, it had been, they literally were dropping word upon word upon word that meant nothing. It was,
but it turned out that yes, if I recall, at the end, Data was programmed himself to actually have a conversation with this guy, and so this guy that nobody else liked talking to because he was so full of crap, and it was having the time of his life talking to Data.
Yeah, oh yeah, just because it was on nothing, and they just were. Anyway, SP Futures still up 19. It looks like we're rallying into the day. We've had a couple days we've gone back down. I don't think we will today. I'm going to say right now, I think we stay up. Of course, tomorrow morning I'll be saying, boy, I was wrong again yesterday. Hopefully not. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and try to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. Tom Howie's Mr. Kevin O'Neill, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures up 18 and a quarter. NASDAQ futures up 72. Dow futures up 162. Interesting earnings here. General Motors just came out 187 versus 125, so it's a huge beat. Stocks up 1.5. I'm going to say, Kevin, General Motors could make more money than Amazon this year. And one is down from 2,100 to 1,500, and the other can't get through 40 to save its life. Very, very, very odd. Very odd the way we're dealing with this market. But, you know, the market is the market. DAX up 162, 1.4%. Everybody's trying to shake off a really awful October. They're going to shake off some of it, but it's been so awful we're not going to get back to even at all. FTSE up 115, 1.6%. CAC around up 117. That's 2.3%. It's a big move in the CAC around. We're in Asia. We've got the Nikkei up 463. That's a whole 2%. 21,920, almost back to 22,000. Shanghai up 34, 1.3%. Hang Seng up 394, 1.6%. So we've got a little bit of the bounce here. We'll see if it holds, though. That's what's key about these things. Oil up 22 cents, 66.40. Brent up 34, 76.25. So we're talking about 9.85. Natural gas up a nickel, 324. These are back to, I think, the old highs. RBOB 181. That's up a penny. Gold not doing so hot because the dollar obviously is flying. Gold is down 640 and silver's down 12 cents. Anybody got for us traffic, weather, sports? Not much sports these days.
Quiet night last night locally, that's for sure. 36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there from overcast and still dark Chicago this morning. We already have a crash on Lakeshore Drive northbound at the Oak Street curve. This is a crash that just came across the screen. There was an earlier one in the right lane that's been cleared, and now there's a new one. So I don't know what's going on right at that same spot here on Lakeshore Drive, but that's affecting folks coming in, heading northbound from downtown. So keep that in mind right at Oak Street curve.
Yeah, ain't no road just like it, you know.
That's right. Looking okay so far on the Edens and Kennedy. Traffic building on the Eisenhower. Same with the Stevenson. No accidents to report. Dan Ryan, I-57 and the Bishop Ford are looking good, too. On the south side, Kedzie and 147th, there's a structure fire on the 147 block of Turner that's causing closures as crews work to put that out. In the southwestern burbs, Route 83 at Midway Drive, there is an accident. It's causing delays. And out in the western suburbs, West Bartlett Road at Gifford Road, there's a crash. And just north of that, Looks like there's another crash, if I can get over at Shales Parkway and US 20.
What are you doing, man? You just had no crashes yesterday.
What are you going to do? Sometimes they happen, sometimes they don't, or she just didn't pull the screen.
That's possible, too.
I couldn't tell you. Everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, another pleasant day, but we cool off a bit from yesterday. Yesterday, we actually touched 60, which was very pleasant in the afternoon. Today, not quite. We'll be partly cloudy with a high of 56. Could be a bit warmer inland. Right now, it's overcast and 49 degrees downtown, going up to a high of 56. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 79 today. Perfect down in the Valley of the Sun. Right now, it's crystal clear and 62. In sports, as Chief mentioned, quiet night last night. No NFL, no Major League Baseball. Bulls and Blackhawks were both off. No real local Chicago sports news, except we're still waiting to hear on the injury concern for Kyle Long. The Bears guard suffered a right foot injury in Sunday's win over the Jets. He's been in a boot all week, but the Bears have still not announced what that looks like. Looks like no surgery, though, so that's good news. But he'll certainly miss some time. We'll keep you posted on that as that develops. Phoenix sports, the Suns were off. Coyotes were in action. They blew out Ottawa 5-1. Chief.
Real quick, maybe. Well, two things. One is, who sang that song? And what is unusual about its history?
Who sang what song?
Lakeshore Drive.
Oh, the Lakeshore Drive song. I don't know who sang
Kevin?
That song. Kevin, do you know?
He probably does.
Elioto, Haynes, and Jeremiah.
Yeah, and didn't they have a fire in the record company, so the actual original stamp or whatever, the original version has been lost forever? You can't make.
Oh, the master. The
yeah.
Master's gone, huh?
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Also, what the hell, Batman? What is going on in the NFL and the Bears division? The Packers traded one of their better players in the midst of a division fight for a draft pick next year. And our old buddy from Notre Dame, 45 catches, gets tossed from Detroit for a third-round draft pick. What the hell, Kevin?
Yeah, I don't know the backstory on Golden Tate's departure, so I don't know if there's any animosity or anything. He has done very well working with Matt Stafford, so that's a little surprising. But, it may be that Detroit is just looking at how bad they are, and they're starting to accumulate draft picks in anticipation of having to rebuild the team, because they have a really good quarterback and they need to take advantage of that. It's hard to have a guy who is as highly rated as Stafford and to be as bad as they have been for a long time.
They're playing, they're one game behind the Bears, and they played the Bears twice in 11 days, 2 weeks now. How the hell, why do they think they're out of it?
I don't know, because maybe they watch themselves play and they really, really suck.
Well, the Packers don't think they're out of it. Isn't he one of their better players? Clinton Dix, whatever his name is? They got a fourth-rounder for him.
Yeah, and I didn't see. Where did they send Clinton Dix?
What was it, man? He was...
He went to Washington, I believe, for the Redskins.
What'd they get for him? Draft picks?
Yeah, they got a fourth-round pick for him. I think for both of these situations, we probably need to look at their contracts, which I haven't done yet. I assume that, yesterday was the trade deadline, and I assume both of these guys are potentially in a contract year. And
I'm certain Tate is.
Yeah, and I think it just came down to that. They didn't want to lose the guys for nothing, and they assumed that they would, so they figured, let's try to get a pick out of them. We're not a guaranteed, in a guaranteed place to make the playoffs right now anyway. Both teams are hovering around 500. Certainly not out of it, but... I think that was behind the decision making.
In the case of Detroit and Tate too, he's as good as he has been, and he's racked up really good numbers at both places he's been. Once a guy gets older, and he's got to be 6-7 years into the NFL at least. You just aren't going to get first round picks for those kind of guys anymore. Maybe if you were trading Aaron Rodgers 6 or 7 years in, yeah, you'd get multiple first round picks. But for a wide receiver, you're not going to do that.
Well, I'm more.
Clinton Dix is probably on his first contract.
That's what I was thinking.
He is. I think he's in the final year of his first contract. Golden Tate, by the way, is 30 years old. So this is probably probably his eighth year, maybe. seventh or eighth year. And, yeah, he's been arguably a top 10 wide receiver in the last several years in the league. So, but Kevin's right. You're not going to get a first or second round pick for a 30, almost 31 year old guy.
But I mean, yeah. I get this routine where, here's my issue with this. It has to do with you know, with politics and with numbers, with everything. You're going to find somebody who would say, we'll take that guy for 4 or 5 months and lose him, or we'll give up draft picks in baseball or whatever. We'll give up players for a guy for 3 months just to win the World Series. For two teams that are clearly in the hunt. I mean, Clinton Dix was a number one pick, I believe, 3 years ago.
Yep.
And he's a serious ball player. You drop that down to a number four pick a year from now, what are the chances of getting a fourth round pick anywhere near as good as the guy? And if the Packers were to get late in the playoffs this year or go to the Super Bowl, any other sport they'd say it was worth it. You know, I mean, in football, it's not. I mean, it just seems odd to me.
Well, there's other stuff going on with the Packers too, and this may be part of it. I actually, on occasion, will crank up iHeartRadio and listen to some of the stations, a show or two that I used to, have on the radio during drive times when I lived up there. And this week, they're talking a lot about a bad situation in the locker room with the Packers. And part of it came up with the guy, and I forget his name off the top of my head, that returned the kick when he was under orders to not return it.
Yeah, that's a pretty big
deal. He got traded as well.
Humbled. But somebody else on there just went off anonymously, off the record, but went off. And the Packers management was not very happy about that.
Maybe it was just Clinton Dix.
Say something, say it on the record, and frankly, we'd rather not have you skewer your teammates offhand. So maybe it was tied to that. But they've been sort of reporting that it's not a very settled locker room in general anyway.
Ty Montgomery.
Maybe they're just trying to clean up some attitude issues. And I'm not saying that that's Clinton Dix. Maybe Clinton Dix is the guy who pushes back against it or something. I don't know. I'm just speculating, and it may be baseless, but it may be that they're trying to just, rebuild some team harmony up there.
Yeah, Ty Montgomery is the guy you're speaking of who fumbled, and he got traded as well for a seventh round pick. I think he went to Baltimore.
That's as low as they can go, seven, right?
Yeah, that's as low as they can go. Now he has.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised. I'm surprised it took him till Tuesday to do it because that was definitely he was not happy about being pulled out of the game earlier, and then when he went back to return a kick, he was supposed to take the touchback so that they could give Aaron Rodgers the ball at the 25 with, a minute and a half left to go.
Actually, it was like 2:03.
Only needing a field goal.
It was like 2:03, Kevin, so he actually had the two-minute warning and timeout, so he had plenty of time. So, yeah, he had a play, then a two-minute warning, I think, and then I think they had at least a couple timeouts, so maybe they didn't. So it was, I won't say a gimme for Rodgers, but it wasn't. I mean, he had down two,
you think he's at least going to get him in field goal range.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say it was a 45% chance of him getting that field goal.
Well, let me put it this way. The chances of Aaron Rodgers navigating you into field goal range versus the chances of Ty Montgomery returning you into field goal range, which bet would you take?
Well, yeah.
Exactly right.
So, Kevin, I got to ask a...
By the way, I have to play this.
Oh, yeah.
Fast forward a little bit. It's got a little bit of a long lead-in.
So unfortunately, I can't do that. So we'll there we go.
Yeah.
There you go.
So what is technically
on in on Lakeshore Drive, Friday Night Trouble Bound.
What is technically incorrect in that song? So just so far.
Rags to riches in 15 minutes?
Rats to riches.
Oh, rats to riches.
Now, the assumption is in the rich neighborhoods there are no rats. I'm going to say it's just the opposite.
No, it's better exterminators.
I think it's just the opposite. Yeah. The closer you are to downtown, the more rats.
my buddy, you know, Jim Doherty, Doc, he used to park behind the Irish Club on Michigan Avenue. That was the name of the place. I'll remember, but there was the Union League Club, which is kind of waspy, and then this is the Catholics over there. Of course, it's closed now; it's a big facility. But he used to park right behind the place, and he never in the alley, and nobody ever messed with his car. I go, Doc, how the hell do you park back here? He goes, you'll see. We're going to dinner. We went over there and worked out. We're going to dinner to forget the name of the place. But it was so bizarre, man. It was all guys. So on the second floor, everybody's swimming in the raw in the pool. Which is, you know, bad enough.
Yeah, no thanks.
But guys would get out and they'd have lunch right at the tables and then put any pants in. You'd see everybody sitting there. Lunch. Anyway, so we go down.
You can always tell if people really like the food.
Oh, yeah, it's like, God bless. What if you drop something hot? So the alley, remember when the Blackhawk was there, Kevin? There were like five like restaurants on Wabash with all the stuff out and back. So Doc goes, now you got to be careful going down the alley. What do you mean? He goes, make sure that one of them doesn't jump in the car. The alley was alive. I mean, every 10 feet there was a guy scurrying. And you walk through, they'd part, and then they'd come right in behind you. Literally, you had to, like, make sure there were no around when you open the door and hop in. He goes, yeah, nobody's going to give me a ticket back here. No kidding.
Wabash is still pretty bad, but it's not that bad now.
Well, this was the alley between Michigan and Wabash.
Yeah, I would still argue that Wabash is the dirtiest alley in the city.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, but it's all restaurants.
Yeah, it's all restaurants. It's no one goes back there. but I don't think it's quite that alive.
No, it can't be as bad as it was. Kevin, I got a question. This is sort of theoretical. We have a president who, let's put it this way, he's unique.
Here, I thought you were going to ask me about IBM and Red Hat. Go on.
I am going to do that. But the
he's got 10 minutes to squeeze it all in.
I'm gonna his disdain. I mean, this is one of the things with the right and the left. His disdain for the Constitution on the parts he doesn't agree with, yet they'll hide behind the other parts on gun control or something. But what if we had a guy that was just as in my mind just as big of a loser when it comes to disrespect for any sort of tradition that's come before him. What if we had a guy like that who was just as disrespectful but was a hell of a lot smarter than him? And actually, I don't see any pushback anywhere from Congress or any place on all the stuff he's trying to pull. Is it possible here if
Congress ceded its role, they probably more last administration than before, but they've been systematically doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
Where they just don't push back on executive branch power. I don't know if that's because they're excited about the possibility of having it themselves on their own side, that each side wants it or whatever, but I think the executive branch has far exceeded its powers for a long time.
I would agree. I think it probably started, really almost started, I think, with Bush 1 when the guys around him said that he could invade Iraq without going to Congress, and he had the decency to say, no, we're going to Congress. That's what the Constitution says.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't a declared war.
So we see that, and I think it's a big problem that manifests itself in a lot of ways, but one of the things that, point I made when we were, when I was tweeting, I think it was yesterday, Monday, when you were talking about Electoral College and representation and such, that, you wouldn't care as much if the government were operating as designed, and as designed means that there was very limited executive branch or federal government in favor of more local government. That's how it was designed, and that would very much mitigate the impact of any disproportionate representation that you feel. It still would affect the Supreme Court because it's designed that way, but everything else, all of the other policies that really belong pushed down closer to people and people where they live and people where there's more accountability, I think it's a brilliant design, but it's not what we do anymore.
Well, I think there's Kevin, if I could rephrase, if Trump and Hillary were both very competent, moral, and just, nobody'd care if the Electoral College worked or it didn't exactly.
Yeah, right? But we rejected competent and moral, and we said no thank you to Mitt Romney.
That's exactly right. I agree with that. I mean, by the way, I voted for him, which you may shock people, but I did. I don't. But once you lose that, and you have people abusing the power, then if you look to say, well, how did they get there? They got there because, I mean, if you know what I'm saying, if the people from, I don't know how I can put this, but if there wasn't a perceived issue with people pushing through the power to the I consider it to be the nth degree, with the shall we say the minority represented Senate. You know, and there's reasons for it constitutionally and so
forth. Well, it actually isn't minority represented, because if you poll anybody, the left was celebrating that they pulled within 9 points now, single digits for the first time in years, when they poll the general population and say, do you consider yourselves conservative, liberal, or middle of the road? Conservative outpolls them by 9 points.
Okay.
So don't call it minority representation.
It's minority representation by the vote, and every time you read the winner tell you that it's a sour grape on the loser, the fact is it wouldn't be done that way if we did it again, and the idea that every conservative person I talk to basically wants California to have no vote. Okay, well that's interesting, but it's not. I mean, everybody at the very end of the day said, well, California, we don't care about them. We don't care if they drop off. You know, okay, well, if that's what you really feel, anybody doesn't vote like you. But, I mean, this is not new, Kevin. I mean, the whole...
Yeah, but that actually isn't the way it shakes out, because there are a lot of conservative districts outside of this main big cities in California, and those are represented in Congress.
Well, but if you count the horses and the guns... Then maybe they should have. You know, I guess those should get a vote too, right? Because they're manly men. All right. Hey, what about?
I'm not sure what you're trying to say with that.
Saying it's okay if you're in Wyoming, and you have 50 times the vote of California because you're a manly man. Just saying. You have a horse. You got guns.
Yeah, still don't get it, but okay.
All right. What is the deal with? I saw. I should know the name of the lady who runs IBM and the guy who runs Red Hat. We're on the stage together, and she's smiling. He looked like the cat that just swallowed the canary. With the money they paid for that. But is this possibly that accretive to them, Kevin?
It is possibly. I can't speak to the financials. I can speak to the market and what they were doing. So when we discussed it in my informatics class yesterday, I translated the two statements like this: the IBM president. God, I'm blanking on her name too, but in her case, the translation was: we are so far behind in developing our cloud platform that we'll be out of business by the time we catch up, unless we buy our way into it.
Jeannie Rometty, Kevin. Jeannie Rometty.
Yeah, and so that was my translation of what she had to say, and then my translation of the statement from the Red Hat CEO was, I'm going to make a whole boatload of money.
Yes,
off of
this. yes. You teach this stuff. By the way, you had to enjoy Gary yesterday, the guy who does the speeches and coaching and everything.
Oh, yeah, he was terrific.
But how much, what do you suppose the first meeting looks like? These guys pile into the meeting with IBM, and the IBM guys are all there, and God help you if you wear a blue shirt. I mean, is the cultural difference? Is the IBM, what's it going to take training-wise for the person making the calls for IBM to all of a sudden incorporate this into his playbook? I mean, what's the learning curve for what, you know?
Well, it's always interesting to see the culture clash on an acquisition. And often enough, you see, like in this case, where a CEO is going to stay on, only to discover that, doesn't really have a vote like he thought he was going to have a vote, yeah. And therefore they you know, it doesn't last long. That could be, or it could be that you know, that IBM is being smart here and saying we have to change, and one of the ways we have change is to bring in a new culture and let it manage. Changing cultures is really, really hard, especially yeah. in a large corporation like IBM. So I don't know what to expect there. On the other hand, what they are getting is they're getting a whole platform of cloud and developer and you know, just a whole product line. If you go on Red Hat's website, you can sort of see what their product lines are, service architectures, all kinds of interesting things. And one of the things that you get with Red Hat, because they have been open source for so long, and open source meaning not only do they put, you know, give you specifications for an interface to their product lines, but also they give you the source code so that you really understand it. They have this whole developer, you know, with the popular term now for people like this and Salesforce.com and others is that they have an ecosystem. And the idea there is that they have all of these people who's built businesses around talking to and making their software work with Red Hat. And so not, you know, that's all off the books. That's not on Red Hat's books at all. It is all a bunch of developers who live and breathe Red Hat stuff. And IBM acquired those partnerships as well. And again, I don't know how you value that. Apparently IBM has an idea that you value it by paying a whole lot of money for
well,
it.
Well, I mean, just, we don't have a, not that long here, Kevin, but quite, we have 30 seconds, but now if you're my guy at IBM and you say Coca-Cola is your client, and it's taken you 10 years to learn everything IBM can do for Coca-Cola, now next week, do I send a Red Hat guy with you? I can't expect you to sell both next week, no way on earth. Do I give you a 6-month course, or the first day, do I say, Matt Weber's your Red Hat partner, knock them dead, both of you guys? I mean, how logistically, how does that work the first week?
I'm sure they will approach all of their major clients and have discussions with them about what this means. However, it's going to take some time, and it's really, you know, part of the reason is that cloud right now is not necessarily the value. It's a lot of value if you don't have the money to write the big check to build out your infrastructure. But it's still expensive relative to having your own infrastructure, and one of the things that's changing, though, is that price is coming down,
okay.
And people will move more to cloud, building out their networks in the cloud, and that's where IBM is trying to be ready to be able to compete with the people who are already there.
All right, Kevin, we'll talk more Friday. We've got to set up this college football. Is getting wild. Northwestern could be in the Big Ten playoff, right? We'll talk about that on Friday.
I'm not going to worry about Northwestern.
You will.
The day I have to do that is the day Joe Kuharik is my coach.
all right. I think Saturday's a trap game. I hope we come out of it all right. SP Futures now up 18. Up 18. We're having a big rally around the world today. Come back, Mr. Russell Rhodes.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, if they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, Give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at ptisecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@ptisecurities.com. That's john@ptisecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Who's calling up my wall? Teddy, very small. Now he's up above my head, hanging by a little thread. Oh, the sky.
God.
We're keeping the Halloween song theme going.
Evidently. Welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. SP Futures up 21, Dow up 177. Isn't everybody always giddy when we're rallying and NASDAQ up 83? We're trying to make back a little bit of this horrendous month. We'll see if it hangs in there because we were up this much the other day and we ended up down. So I'm not predicting that today. I don't want to see that because I'm actually long today. So that's a good thing. Oil, I'd like to see those stocks up. We had a nice little yesterday when we were dipping during the day. Russell, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
We actually rolled our puts down in our XLE and it came back up and we rolled them right back up again. And when,
look at you.
Well, but there was a time when you do the protected index program. The idea is to sell calls against a stock that's creeping up every month, and you get the appreciation in the stock, and you get the difference between the calls you've sold and the puts because the puts are further out, and the calls should be decaying faster, and it's a terrific thing. And maybe you have to roll your puts a couple of times a year at most. When you roll them in the same day, something is unglued with the market, shall we say.
Well, and I think we talked about this last week, yeah. How, you know, it's kind of like the Richter scale going a little nuts when we get around market tops, and that's what it feels like right now.
Do you believe this almost
zigzags, but then we have a bunch of zags to the downside in a row?
I don't know where the clash is, but you know how you... There was a movie once. I forget who the hell was in it. I could see the guy's face. He was one of the guys... But the movie had to do with a mid-air crash of a private plane and a commercial plane. And you knew that they started with, like, this crash, and they immediately backed off to, like, the weeks before and all the stuff that had to happen to lead up to the crash.
I mean, all the little different ripple effects,
right.
Butterfly effects.
You know, somebody's too late, somebody caught a train, somebody did this, somebody did that. The bazillion things that had to happen to have those two planes in the huge sky in the same spot at the same time. Jack Lemmon was the guy. Obviously a deceased actor, a very successful deceased actor. And you see what's going on with this market.
It's Airport 77?
No, it was way before that. Guy was black and white.
Back when the world was black and white.
Yeah, no kidding. when Henry Ford say you could have any color you want as long as it's black?
Black. Yep.
Wasn't that with the Model T?
Jack Lemmon was in Airport 77.
Yes. We're talking about off the topic. Speaking of black, mm-hmm. Speaking of Henry Ford, I actually kicked on my YouTube the other day. I was looking for a recipe for a new thing I was cooking in the office. And I see this thing about how to start a Model T. Some you didn't. Depends on how much juice you had in your battery. But it was probably a six-step process. The throttle had to be here. The starter was a button on the floor if you're going to use the starter. Or you had to get out and crank. But you had to prime the engine with one little pumpy thing over by the front. Then you had to go in and set the choke. And then, Matt, even know what a choke is?
Yes, I know what a choke is.
All right, but, okay.
Yeah.
For God's
yeah.
sake.
All right, I have blown the snow before.
All right, well, okay, but if
you ever mowed the lawn?
All right, well, if you were five years younger,
but I never used a power mower.
I'm going to say there's a lot of people just a little younger than you who don't know what a choke is.
If they ever ran a snowblower or mowed the lawn in their life.
Well, that's true. That's true. Yeah, because those guys don't have push mowers. Does anybody even have a push mower anymore? You can make them?
They make them.
God. It was a huge... You had to get in and out of the thing probably three times.
Yeah.
Just to get it going.
Well, if you see like a little old-timey movie of starting a Model T, I'm sure they're jumping in and out. And they're not doing it for effect.
Let's just say if we needed to get someplace...
It's a two-person job.
Well, if we needed to get someplace and there was one sitting there, I doubt if we get it going.
Oh, I'm certain. I think there could be a race between you and me. I'll be the one starting the car to get somewhere, and you can walk there to make it fair, and I think you'll get there first.
I think the throttle was on the what would now be considered the gear shift on the right. The throttle, I think, was by hand.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
It was a hand thing.
But with the market, I remember
from my first car.
It sure seems like an awful lot of stuff is kind of coming together. I mean, I look at the General Motors profits, and by the way, I'm very happy that our car companies are doing better. They now look to me like they're going to make more money than Amazon this year. Look at the difference in price. Even though, have you ever seen a stock come down 600 points as quietly as Amazon has done? Nobody said boom.
Well, what is it at? Like 1,500?
It ducked under 1,500 yesterday and rallied back.
Yeah,
but it was over 2,100. That's a real number.
The way I always like to think about it is that's 6 points on a $21 stock.
But it's not 6 points. It's
600. Yeah, it just kind of puts it in the same perspective as far as percentages go.
But
that's still, you know, when the stocks end up being, you know, extremely high priced, just to not get overwhelmed by the points and pay more attention to the, just the percentage moves. But still, that's a heck of a move.
Russell, I think when I started...
About 30%.
When I started 3 months into the lousy bear market, I'm going to say that we lost Teledyne under $100, but there was not one stock over $100. And now we have a stock that dropped 600. Nobody even says a boo about it. That's a change.
People think Teledyne is a fake stock that they use in old movies. But it was really it was the bomb at one time as far as trading went.
Oh yeah. Well, and of course you had all the the tax dodging going on before the Tax Act '84. Mm-hmm. So the stocks that did huge business were some people did Teledyne if you could afford it. Maddie, what I'm talking about, I should mention this for those who don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Right now, if you're a retail trader, okay, and if you buy a stock at 40, you buy two stocks. You buy two stocks at 40, they both go to 80, you sell one of them at the end of the year, you're only paying tax on the one that you sold. You don't pay tax on the one that you did not sell until you sell it, okay, or if you croak and you give it to your kid, you never pay taxes. That's another story. But in my day, before 1984, same thing stood true for professional traders. So what people would do is they would make sure that they closed enough transactions to where they never had any profit. So you went years without paying a tax bill, knowing that at some point this was going to come due. Of course, then there were people, Mr. Weber, there were people who would calculate what their tax bill should have been, put the money in the bank, which, by the way, you're making like 8 or 10% or more, and did things. But then there were the people who spent every nickel thinking this was going to last forever. So the Tax Act of '84 actually was probably a bigger drain in cash out of people's accounts than like the '87 crash, because there were people that had never paid any taxes, Russell. I mean, none. And all of a sudden, all of a sudden in '84, they said, no, if you're a professional, you have to mark yourself to market. So, but before that, Litton Industries was a big conglomerate that's now, I think, out of business, or somebody bought them. Can you buy a conglomerate? I guess you can. But they would give out a 2% stock dividend, Russell. So they literally had 37s and like 37 and a quarter strikes. So what people would do is they'd buy 1,000 of the 37 and a quarter, or 37 and a half, thinking all the stock had to do is move a few bucks, and you'd close the losing side and leave the winning side open, and you'd close that in January. So essentially, if you made $300,000, you'd close enough of those to get you to even on the $300,000, so you made no dough.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, that changed, and it was a bad day for a lot of people.
Then why does everybody still think that there's all kinds of tax loss selling and stuff right before the end of the year?
If
one of the cool loopholes is gone, you know,
well, no, but retail people,
I don't see as much of that as I used to, and I wonder if that's why.
Well, because if you have a retail person, let's say his account is up, say he's got $1 million account, and his account is up $100,000. All right, so but one of the stocks he sold, he caught XYZ, or he caught Hula Hoop at the bottom, and he made $300,000 on a stock that he sold. So his tax for the year, from what he sold, is going to just the opposite of what I talked about on the floor. He now has a tax liability of the $300,000 profit, but he didn't make $300,000. So that guy's going to do. He's probably going to call me and say, "Hey, can you go through some of my?" Well, hopefully do this himself.
Find me a loser.
Because if I just send the 300 in, I gotta send these idiots a check for $100,000. By the way, I only made $100,000. I don't want to send them my whole profit. So let's find a loser, match it up. Because I really only made $100,000. Let's find $200,000 worth of losers and at least match up this year till I made only the $100,000. Which makes total sense, right? So I mean that's why people are talking about the tax loss. Last thing you want to do is pay taxes on $1 million when you only made $200,000. I mean, where are you going to get the other $200,000? You know, you have to liquidate something.
You're going to end up having to sell something else.
But I guess when I talk about that movie and what's going on, I mean, it is not surprise. Why is it a shock? I mean, General Motors shares can't get out of their own way. People are talking about driverless car, all this kind of crap. The fact is, every single day, and nobody keeps up with the auto market, more than me. You never know what the thing I drive. But for God's sake, a Suburban is $65,000. They got to be making $20,000 a car. I mean, at some point, this inflation that we all see, There's three auto companies left. The inflation is spectacular in these areas. So how is it that one of these years these guys aren't going to make a lot of dough? Now, my question is that a good or a bad thing? I mean,
it's usually when auto companies hit peak earnings, and we may be looking back in a couple of years and saying that this was GM's peak earnings, that typically is one of those things that's coincident with a top in the economic cycle.
Well, I think
I'm sitting in my hotel room in New York. I'm watching the CNBC ticker go by, and I see GM, you know, up 250 right now. I wouldn't be shocked if it gives it all back in the next month or two, because a lot of portfolio managers have been around for several cycles, and they know that this is the time that you're usually in the best of. It's the best time to be selling that stock.
Well, I'm not going to ask
if you're a longer term holder.
I'm not going to ask you this as a recommendation because you know I don't do that. If these guys are actually going to make $7 a year, how the hell do you not want to buy them at 39? They're making more than Amazon, for God's sake.
Because in the year, the next recession year that we have, and let's just say it's 2020, they will lose money. They always have a losing year earnings wise in the cycle. That's why they had to get bailed out in 2008, and they're also very leveraged.
They are.
So when it's I love this phrase with respect to leverage. When it's really good, it's really good. When it's really bad, it's really bad.
All right. So how the hell? Where's the disconnect?
It's really good this quarter.
As our professor and our PhD soon to be, where is the disconnect between the wages going up 0.2% the other day instead of 0.4, and this is happening like darn near every month. So let's say people's wages are going to get up 2.5% this year, which by anybody's stretch, even the people at the Bureau or the Fed who keep popping this PCE number out of nowhere, even by anybody's stretch, we're talking about every man is still barely keeping up with inflation. We see these vehicles.
Oh, they're not. I saw a great. I'm fumbling around here trying to find this tweet from earlier this week, where somebody did the last 20 years of inflation on different things. And like TVs, it's negative. The things, which is something that everybody needs, but maybe not necessarily one that's big enough that you could be buried in the box it comes in. But, they had the things that were going up the most, education, textbooks. You know, my biggest regret in life is I didn't write a textbook. And,
yet.
You know, the healthcare costs that are going up, but it was a lot of essential things that you don't get around. Which goes right along with your thesis about the true cost of living, which used to drive, as a kid, that drove me crazy. That's what they would call that was kind of the slang term for one of the inflationary numbers, but the cost of living is outpacing any sort of inflation number that we're given by the government.
Oh, without a doubt. But I just, you wonder at some level. I mean, I'll tell you how bad it is. I'll just give you a Maddie, you never saw my red pick me up, did you?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, well.
I've driven it.
That's right, you did drive it. I got rid of it, about 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a 2000 three quarter ton, just regular old pick me up, three quarter ton. So I got this from my stepfather died, and we were cleaning out the house and blah, blah. Anyway, so I buy this thing, and I have it for like a year or two, and we used it, and I put
to move once. That's why I drove it.
And, it was nice.
I was sitting here, and in the back of my mind, I was thinking, he drove it when he was moving.
Yep.
That's exactly right.
He borrowed it and drove it when he was moving.
And I'm going to say he wasn't the only one. So,
that was the other thing, is I almost got a pickup truck once in my youth. And my father was like, don't do it, man. You're going to be lending it out. You're going to be helping everybody move.
Oh, God, yeah.
You're going to be, yeah, I am.
That's so true.
And if I do it now, I'm getting some sort of scary monster truck.
Well, my buddy Scummy, how's that for a name? Why do you think he was called Scummy?
He has a history.
No, because he picked the acronym in the pit of SCM.
Oh,
they called him Scum.
He was Scummy forever, for the whole time he was there.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no political correctness on the floor. Why do you think
No.
Dr. J got to be DR. He was DRJ. It's not like he's got a PhD. He was DRJ. No. Was his But anyway,
I think he stole his father's doctor title.
Yes, he essentially did.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I buy this thing, and I've got two trucks. I don't really need two trucks. I live in the city. So Scummy, I play golf with once a month, and he goes, "Hey, my kid's coming back from Iraq. He's a carpenter. He needs a powerful truck. You always keep good care of your stuff. How about, you don't need two. How about if I buy yours?" I said, "I'll tell you what. I don't really need two. Let's go on Kelly Blue Book. Let's find the person-to-person price, and we got a deal." And he goes, "Fine." So he calls me the next day. "What'd you find?" I said, "It looks like it's worth $5,900 or something." He goes, "You'll have the check tomorrow." So I'm going to say, if I had, this is 5 years ago, if I had that truck today, I'd get $9,500 for it easy. Maybe nine. Now with mm-hmm. the same mileage. It had like 80,000 miles on it because it was in great shape. Because this stuff is just walking its way up. I mean, you can't even buy a junker now that runs for less than several thousand. I mean, and yet we keep getting this story, Russell, and it's somehow or another, all the stuff we talk about, none of it's talked about. Is everybody's fighting from the right and the left? Is this all really just a big brush fire? Everybody's stealing or something? I mean, literally, I'm going to say you can't get in. Somebody told me that in the depths of the Depression in 2008, with all the different, I'm sure it was a very plain pick-me-up, somebody bought a Ford F-150, not a 4x4, and the price out to them was like $12,800. Now, granted, that was at the depths of something, and it probably was the year before modeled, but the new friggin' truck for $12,800 or $13,000 or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say you can't touch a regular pickup now for less than $27,000, $28,000, even if it's two-wheel drive with nothing on it, of just a bare bones.
Now, of course, No, I'm well aware.
And you can go to the, if you dig, I found it once. This is interesting to look at. And of course, I'll never find it again, but somewhere buried in the Bureau of Labor Statistics, if you just keep digging and you get to the footnotes about pickup trucks or anything, really, it'll show you a Ford F-150, 2017, say $35,000, 2018, $36,500. And they'll be in there. It'll be a list of stuff. Center armrest, $50 or something that the new one does and the other one didn't. Or fog lights are included. That's $150. And it'll say, okay, there's the $1,500 is really $1,000 because here's 500 hours worth of, quote, improvements that we put in there. Because it's not, I mean, clearly if 1 year it doesn't have power steering, the next year it does, I mean, clearly you got to put that in the price.
That's an improvement. Yeah. The prices really haven't been going up as much as the improvements.
Well, according to some people, but I'm going to say. But then again, if I'm on a farm somewhere, all I want is something to haul something. I don't want all this other crap, and you can't not get it.
Right.
You know, give me the truck for $18,000, where I plunk in there, and there's nothing on the thing. Roll down windows a whole bit. If you can't get it, then somehow or
another.
Well, I mean, right? I mean, I don't
the handle that breaks. The handle that breaks off. Yeah.
I'd be happy to have one of those. I'm gonna because I'm very, very aware of what year you have to go back to get one where they don't know where you are all the time. Of course, if you have your cell phone, I guess they know where you are anyway. But
everybody knows where you are all the time,
which is not so good.
Yeah. Have you been to the doctor in the last 5 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, they sneak chips in all of us now. You know that, right?
I hope so.
We're no different than the dogs now.
We're no different.
They're monitoring us all the time.
In the immortal words of my attorney buddy Bill, no last name, he says, if he's a defense attorney, and some of the people that he has defended, they know they were at the scene of the crime because the idiots were making calls from where they stole the stuff. So he says,
Do you want the red pickup or the blue pickup that I'm stealing off the lot right now?
Yeah, yeah. And he says,
I forgot, honey.
If we passed a law that you had to go get a chip stuck in your back like we do to dogs, you'd see a riot in this country. Yet everybody does it to themselves. They carry the chip in their hand.
That's like one of those biblical infringements that they say is one of the first signs that the horsemen are coming at everything.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we've done it to ourselves.
Yeah.
And happily.
Yeah.
All right, so what do you make of I've lobbed out that I thought the market correction, given the so far correction in the interest rates, to me, I think it's about done. I don't think we go running back to old highs. I think we just kind of reset the level here a little bit and see where interest rates go from here and see what the economy does from here. That's one man's prediction. Now, if I'm right, it'll be the first time ever.
You've been right before.
I don't really remember when I was right. I always remember when I was wrong.
You started inviting me on the show.
That was right.
You keep Matt around.
That's true. No, I'm talking about the market.
You make good decisions.
Now, do you think?
No, I think, it's funny, as you started to get to the market thing, to not get us too far off track here, as you started to say, you think the correction is somewhat over, I almost completed your sentence from 800 miles away with the, I don't think that, I think we stall out at best for maybe months and let a few things catch up. And then also, everybody's a little bit more concerned about getting into stocks depending on where we are interest rate cycle-wise. And there still is a lot of uncertainty as to what the market thinks is going to happen with rate hikes in 2019. So I think a lack of clarity on that's going to kind of weigh on stocks. I think we need some sort. I think we need a catalyst to have another big leg down, though.
I think that the change,
which is basically what you're saying, I think.
I think there's been a real serious tone change, and because a lot of people haven't seen it before, the interplay between short and long term rates, you don't even really see that discussed at what I consider to be an intellectual, a rigorous level, as my old professors used to say. If the economy starts to fall off a little bit and we go into some kind of recession, you might see the Fed lower short-term rates again or try to, or start pouring money back into the system. I think, though, that there's enough of a whiff of inflation around that the chances of somebody giving somebody their money for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years for 2.1% again, I think that ship has sailed. I don't see us going back there. Maybe ever. I think people are sitting there going, what did I do that for? I think you're going to see Europe come out of the negative interest rates, because at some point, it's just such a ridiculously horrible investment that if they come back from the other side, there's going to be people saying, you did what? You bought me a bond where I'm going to lose money on? And it's so far afield from any logic as an investment that I think you can't stay there too much longer. I think we could probably get short-term rates back down again if the Fed floods stuff out there, but I don't know that I don't see this 10-year rate going back like the 1.98 again. I just don't see it.
Oh no, no.
And if it goes,
I recall when the 30-year broke 10% on the downside, and I was at Smith Barney at the time, back when it was called Smith Barney. And the economist there said, we're not ever going to see double digit rates for our lifetime. I think you could safely make a prediction that you're not going to see sub 2% 10-year ever again.
Yeah, I would
agree. Or at least as long as you and I care.
Right. I would agree with that. I think that's SP futures now up 23. We're putting a whip to it today. Dow futures up 195. Yeah. NASDAQ futures up 91. Be right back. Stacks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Hodges, Mr. Russell Rhodes, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. SP Futures now up 27. Dow Futures up 217. Nasdaq Futures up 104. This is going to be a big move here today. At least so far, I don't see this one being headed, actually, because everybody else is up as much as we are. DAX up 152, 1.3%. FTSE up 95, 1.3%. Heck, around even more, up 105, 2.1%. Asia, very strong over here, too. Nikkei up 463, 2.1. Shanghai up 34, 1.3. Up over 2,600, 2,602. Hang Seng up 394, 1.6. We've got oil up 27 cents, so not much. It's only 66 bucks. Brent up 31 cents. Natural gas up 5 cents, 324. RBOB gas 181. Gold can't get out of its own way. Up, down 7 bucks. Silver down 16. We don't need that. We got the markets going up. Maybe what do you got for us? General Motors blew out their earnings by 60 cents. Stocks up a bunch. Maybe what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
35 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We have a crash now on the tri-state southbound just before LaGrange Road involving a semi. It's causing stop-and-go traffic, as you can imagine, so expect delays on the tri-state heading southbound just before LaGrange Road. No issues on the Dan Ryan I-57 or the Bishop Ford. That's looking good. Stevenson, we have a crash right off the Stevenson at Cicero and Pershing, but no accident on the expressway itself. Stevenson looking okay. Eisenhower moving slowly, but no accidents or issues to report. Northside expressways have actually been quiet from an accident front, so that's good news, at least as far as the Kennedy is concerned. But now we do have a new crash on the Edens just north of there that's been moved to the right shoulder. It's Edens outbound just before Niles Center Road. That accident's been moved to the right shoulder. We have a stalled semi on the ramp to the outbound Stevenson on Lakeshore Drive northbound. That's backed up to 31st Street due to this stalled semi. So Lakeshore Drive's had all kinds of issues this morning, probably because we played the song in the first half hour of the show, and that led to this. Off the expressways in the western suburbs, Pennsylvania Avenue at College Ave, we have a crash. Also, we talked about that fire earlier on the south side. Kedzie at 147th, there's a structure fire that has crews on the scene. Just north of there, 115th at Rockwell, there's a crash with injuries. But everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, it's going to be a nice fall day today. Partly cloudy skies, a high of 56. Right now it's overcast and 50 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, lots of sunshine, sunny skies, high of 79 today. Right now it's clear and 63. In sports, quiet night last night. Bulls were off, Blackhawks were off, Phoenix Suns were off as well. Coyotes were the only team in action between Chicago and Phoenix, and they blew out the Ottawa Senators. 5-1 was the final. Chief.
Headline, General Motors shares soar as strong truck sales, higher prices boost third quarter profit. Now, is that something we cheer or don't cheer? It depends on which side of that sticker we're on, right?
Absolutely. I hear, is everything okay in the background there?
That's Maddie's talking about all these accidents. As our guys, Minjin Company number one, they do expressway extraction duty as well. Correct, Maddie?
Oh, wow.
That's right.
So I'm saying somebody needs to be extracted.
Hey, I want to ask you a question. You always do lead the topics, and then I have to play catch up. So I'm I got a question for you. During the break on the commercial, and I always think about this when we're on the commercial. The gold, what are you using to trade the gold? Are you using GLD or are you using the options on the futures at CME?
I actually use the
without giving anything else away. That's really awesome.
No, I was using the
give anything up
in the silver. I've been in the silver itself, SLV, which is ETF.
Okay.
And in the gold, I've been in the GDX, which is the gold miners index. So we're in the stocks.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually get a little bit of a dividend and stuff in there. And the gold has been not performed very well, but the last month or two it has somewhat. Although I think at the end of the year I'll probably pile out on one of them. But the only thing is, every spot I wanted to pile out and get into like the XLF, the XLF's down for the year. So I mean, it's kind of hard to find. I mean, well, 2 days ago the market was down for the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's pretty spotty as to where you can. I mean, we were so Fang dominant for a while. Now the Fangs have really backed off, and some of these other guys. I mean, today is a solid looking day, but it's been an abysmal month. I mean,
actually, when I get off the phone with you, I'm going right to NASDAQ to talk to them about NASDAQ volatility and the Fang stocks.
Yeah, I mean, it's we've had
on the metals thing. I've been doing work on trying to figure out if you're better off using what trades at CME or better off on the multi-list space. That's all.
Well, one thing.
That's why I asked.
I very seldom. First of all, I'm not the Pope, but if I was, would he speaks what from the chair of Peter like once every million years or something, where he can't be wrong. I very seldom say you got to listen to me on this one. Do not get involved in any ETF that does not have the physical for more than like a day or two.
I can understand that.
Because the ones with the futures,
avoid
they just drain. I mean, like your USO that doesn't have the oil, it just gets the future.
Yeah.
Now, your GLD and your silver, there actually is silver someplace that backs up the product. It's not a gold future. Mm-hmm. It's not a silver future. And I would say that that's why we started with the spiders. You know, I only really am in the spiders are there's now 10 little spiders that add up to the big spider, like the XLE is the, you're going to get the Russell. That you can be in that ETF because they have the stack. You can be in the QQQ. But anything that just has this esoteric future, all it does is drain, Russell. I mean, you can't look at the VXX.
I understand.
I mean, you can't be in
those. I'm not disagreeing with you at all.
But just in general, I mean, I had a conversation with somebody last night. Imagine that. This guy, I see him this one place. Greg lives near this little bar, so once in a while when I drive him home, we stop for a quick one. And there's a couple architects near. So, of course, you can imagine me interested in everything. I'm talking to this guy, and he says, yeah, I got a big project now. It's an expansion in this guy's metal fabricating place. And I'm going, really? Because you haven't seen that in, like, forever, right? And he says, yeah, all of a sudden a lot of this stuff is coming back from overseas. The shipping, the quality is so much better. The prices aren't that much different now. And by the way, you got to ship it both ways. So it's becoming very competitive. And I said, well, have the tariffs caused the prices to go up? Well, of course. You know, and we had somebody the other day talked about the auto glass. You know, David came on and correctly said, if you look at the tariff and you put a 20% tariff on, you know, Chinese, you know, donuts, say, and 20% of our donuts are from China, you would say that China would eat some of that, no pun intended. The donut place would eat some of that, and maybe we'd get this much on tariffs, and the prices here would go up, you know, 0.1%, and nobody'd be, you know, skin off the behind of the elephant, right? But that's not what happens.
Yeah.
That's not what happens. These people in the auto glass tell me that because the Chinese has ratcheted up some, every manufacturer even here is now straight 10% across the board up. And I'm going to say that the metalworking facility, I don't want to be importing stuff from China. I would rather have our people here do it. But I also, but Russell, you can say a lot about me. I'm not as big a dummy as I sound. I understand that if you look at Duluth Trading, where I buy, you know, I buy some clothes there because everything comes in talls. They used to have, up until 6 months ago when you went and bought blue jeans there, they had American-made blue jeans. Regular blue jeans are $65 and the American ones are $85. They must not have sold a one of them because they're not in the catalog anymore. So I'm saying, it's one thing if we're all getting a raise every year of 4 and 5% or 3% or 3.5%, to have this stuff sneaking up, because I don't have any problem with people getting raises with me, and I don't think that the price of metal should stay exactly even. If I'm getting a 3.5% raise, why should it? It should be up a couple percent too. But when you have a population that doesn't seem to be getting a raise, except on the lower levels, which are forced by a little bit of competition. So you're up from 9 to 11. Well, that's a good thing. It's 20%, but it's what, 20% of nothing is nothing, right? I mean, I'm not saying it's nothing. I'm not disparaging it. What I'm saying is, I don't think right now that we can handle, the middle class can handle the inflation rates that are being driven by these tariffs. Now, somewhere along the line, are you saying that this metalworking place is now going to hire my cousin, your son, your whatever, and give somebody a nice fat paycheck? Then, yeah, I guess it's all part of the same thing. I don't see the thing trickling like it's supposed to trickle. It doesn't seem, somewhere along the line, it sort of gets arrested. And the people at the bottom don't quite, my nephew actually is in metal stamping. And a lot of places got a lot of business. And they had a sign on the expressway, Russell, going out to your pad. And, call us up. He goes out, he talks to them 2-3 times, and they offered him less dough than he was making at his other place. And instead of 3 weeks vacation, they offered him one. He's like, you don't move for less money. I mean, what the hell? I mean, they're still not exactly paying up unless they really have to. And I have to believe that the prices in that place are up 40% from 4 years ago. Easy. You know, it doesn't seem that we're set up now where it's where everybody gets a share on this, is what I'm saying. I don't mind it. As long as everybody shares, I'm with it, buddy. You know, but it doesn't seem like it's happening. And how do you see that, Russell, in the fact that you're in the finance area, which obviously has done pretty well because the market's up. You're with colleges, which are charging more and more. How is it that you have the perception to see that there's people not exactly getting on the same train as you? A lot of people have no concept.
No, they have no. They have no concept other than their short-term memory is really what it comes down to.
But I guess my question is, you don't stop in libraries like I do and talk to people as much because you have a family. What is your connection between what the numbers are and what's really happening? I guess is my question.
Well,
other than listening to me once a week.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't exactly live in reality out where I live. Everybody that lives out in the burb that I live in is either a doctor or a lawyer or in our business and doing fairly well. So, and even when we went through the 2008 thing, you didn't see much of a hit for housing, you know, out in the Hinsdale, Clarendon Hills area. But, you know, when I go home to Memphis and I hang out with all of my blue collar friends and everything, they're basically still just living check to check one way or another, or trying to figure out how to scoot around one expense or another. So it's not, you know, even though we're going through a decent expansion, I don't think it's as easy. Things haven't gotten any easier for anybody. I don't know if that's a good answer or not. But
what do you think structurally, you know, is there anything structurally we could do to change that?
Oh, my goodness. You know, the best answer is to try to come up with incentives that, you know, kind of push people in the right direction, as opposed to implementing it by forcing people to pay a $15 minimum wage or things like that. But that's kind of hard as well. Plus, it's difficult to prove that if you've done something that nudges people toward, you know, getting everybody on the same plane, it's difficult to prove it. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I have my...
it actually worked out.
I have my three... I don't know if I ever told you my three trickle up ideas that didn't go very far. I thought Maddie would get it to go viral on YouTube, but somehow it got eaten by a bacteria before it went viral or something. My three trickle up things are: take the $3,000 maximum deduction for capital gains, raise it to like 50, so somebody tries to start a business, loses money, actually gets to deduct the money and doesn't have to, and it can try and start another one, that type of thing. I would drop, I'd have the maximum interest on credit cards at like 15%. If that's not enough, that guy shouldn't have a credit card. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And I would drop the interest on student loans by like 1%. I'm going to say that money gets into the economy immediately. Immediately. I mean, what's the...
You really think... I don't have the same feeling about student loans that everybody else does. I don't feel like they're that. I don't think they're the drag that everybody says that they are.
There's a tremendous drag.
And I just don't. I mean, because it ends up you don't have to pay them back, for one.
What do you mean you don't pay them back?
And how much you pay back it can be a percentage of your income. As opposed to, you know, what you should be paying back to retire the thing in 30 years. And then after a certain amount of time, if you keep making that minimum payment, there is a date where they just forgive the rest of it.
That's somewhat recent. And and I know there are people that are disabled that can't get them discharged.
They can't get... But you don't have... But the payment part that you have to make is...
Manny,
it's flexible based on your income. And where I'm going with that is, I think if you cut the 1%, you know, if you cut the interest rate off of the student loan, then I don't think it works its way into the economy.
I'm
not saying it's a bad idea.
Well, first of all, you got a government that's...
I don't think it helps in the way that you would hope that it would help.
Well, the government is charging students 6.5%, and are giving money to banks for like free. There's a scalp there of the population.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
I'm going to look at my student loans. I actually have one for the first time ever.
I'm not going to lead you anywhere here, Maddie, but Russell said, I won't say unbelievably, he said that he doesn't think student loans are that big of a problem for people. Do you have a comment?
Well, I don't have any anymore, but I'm 35. It's a lot worse now, yeah. I can tell you that. When you're talking about...
Well,
If you have parental help, which some people do, or parental pay for all of it, which some people do, then yeah, it's not an issue. If you have zero parental help and you know, you might be able to get some grants, but let's say you can't get a bunch of grants either. I mean, $100,000 for a 21-year-old is a lot of money, and that might be on the low end. If you go to a good school, it might be $200,000. God forbid if you try to get any sort of MBA or you know, post-grad. I think it's a big deal for those people. I really do.
Well, where'd you go to school before we get into a fight?
I went to Iowa, and I went to a media school here in the suburbs as well.
Okay.
I am dying to find out.
My thing with anybody that graduates with an insurmountable amount of college debt that grew up in the Chicago area is, why didn't they live at home and go to a Chicago school?
Well, okay, but the fact
there's,
is...
There's everything, and it's not some sort of... And here's the deal is, I lived at home, I went to Memphis State, I worked two jobs, and got an undergrad and a master's degree, and lived at home the whole time, didn't really have a college experience, but I also didn't have any debt when I got out of school.
Oh, boy, how much Zantac do you think his parents took?
Well, not only that, but when Russell went, how
oh,
much
it was
were you,
a lot cheaper. No, it was an awful lot.
What were you paying, like $8,000 a year?
I think 12. But beyond that, the other thing that people can do, and I wish somebody had freaking told me this before I started college, I have a handful of students at Loyola that did their first 2 years at junior colleges. And then transferred in to get a four-year degree, to finish up with a four-year degree. And I really wish somebody had told me that that was an alternative back then.
All right, I'm gonna be pissed off at Russell here, but I'm gonna.
Do I'll it. Be pissed off.
I'm gonna do it just
I'm far away.
I'm gonna do it just because I love him. I'm gonna be pissed off. Now what always pisses me off, Mitty?
Well, there's a lot of things that piss you off. You're a grumpy guy.
Well, it's true. actually, I'm not really.
You're not grumpy. You're just a curmudgeon.
I'm kind of a curmudgeon guy, but whenever somebody drives me to debtclock.org.
Oh, yeah. That'll ruin your day.
Student loan debt, what do you think it is, Russell?
Average per person?
Total.
Can I cheat real quick?
No.
Is it? How do they do it? Is it per person or?
Just a total number, and the numbers are going up as we speak. Speak fast. I just want up $5,000 while you were thinking. $10,000.
Oh, my goodness. That's how much I get paid per hour for thinking.
Yeah.
See, I'm trying to think of it in terms of like individuals, and then multiply it times the number of people.
Well, this is by the way, this is a very new way of arguing. When Maddie and I was it 3 years ago, Maddie, 4 years ago, time is flying when you're having fun. Student loan debt went through credit card debt for the first time, and now I'll give you a hint. This is 4 years ago. Credit card debt is now $1,051,000,000,000.
$30 trillion. That's our debt.
No, the student loan is a $1,000,000,006.
Okay. No, I thought it was total debt. I thought you were asking.
No, I'm asking student
debt.
Loan debt.
Okay.
All right. So if one percent off that number is $60 billion a year for young people to be able to spend, start a business, and so forth. I'm going to say that's a dramatic amount of cash, and in the hands of people, it should be starting. How do you, if you have a $250,000 loan? By the way, if you go to any kind of law school or business school, that's what you're going to get. You got a $250,000 loan, and you got a decent job, and you have a whether you do or don't have a significant other. You come home and say, "Sweetie, I'm quitting my job to start a hot dog stand or something entrepreneur." Even if your girlfriend or wife has never cooked a day in her life, she's going to go buy a frying pan and whap you upside the head. What do you mean? we owe the student loan debt. How in the hell can you quit your job? And don't think your own your bosses don't know that. You are indentured. You're an indentured servant, Russell. It's not just the money. I mean, I when I came out of school, my parents helped, but the price was so much different. I didn't owe anybody a dime. If I wanted to paint houses for the next 5 years, I could flip the middle finger at everybody. These kids don't have that kind of freedom. I mean,
you can move back in your parents' basement.
I had guys in school I'll give you the words of Jack Pardee. You know, remember who Jack Pardee?
I do.
Okay, well, Jack Pardee, he was one of the Junction Boys. Remember the movie with Tom Berenger?
Yeah.
Well, he was one of the guys where he went out there with 40 kids and. They came back with 15 that like really wanted to play because he just tortured the hell out of these kids all day long, made them like tough, and they're all leaving in the middle of the night. And somebody said to Jack Pardee, "Why did you stay? Are you that tough?" And he goes, "No, my parents divorced and then sold the house and left. I had nowhere to go back to." two of my buddies from college, their parents sold the house and moved into a house without a bedroom for them. I mean, it's nice to be able to come home, but some parents don't want that at all. I mean, I'm just saying. You know, I mean, I'm saying it's to me it's this is you're burdening your best and brightest. I mean, Maddie, what are the chances?
Yeah.
8 years ago,
and,
when you still had student loans,
the cost has gone up and reasonably so. I totally agree with that. and it really is a matter of you, the amount of support staff that they have at universities now is over the top.
Oh, yeah. Well, what am I...
Well, then you factor in that the wages are completely flat, that but everything still costs more, including schooling.
I know it's going
on. It's just a different time.
And,
well, one of my buddies from Notre Dame, who's an attorney now, he goes, Tammy, you got to tell me. You're a guy who's on the air and stuff. You're supposed to know this stuff. And I go, whoa. So get a load of this. I guess the guy was a little heavier in college. So guess what his name is to this day?
I assume it's making fun of his weight.
Row for rotund. anyway, he says to me, some young lady, attractive, brilliant, she shows up. She's got $200,000 from one of the best undergrads. Then she immediately goes to like an Ivy League place. Somehow pays for most of it. She's $450,000 in hack. Mm-hmm. He goes, I was dying to hire her. I couldn't hire her. And I go, why? He goes, because even with the amount of money we were going to pay her, say, you know, 100 a quarter a year or 100 or something, no chance. Mm-hmm. I didn't want her working as a waitress at night because then she's useless to me. You know, he said stripper or waitress. I'll leave the stripper part out. But he goes out. I mean, there's no. He did. He goes, she needs a second
job. No, I
said
you didn't just say that.
No, but my point is, he goes, she's a very attractive girl. He goes, I don't want her doing anything like that in the other hours because we needed her, you know, lawyer people.
I understand. I totally understand.
He says, he goes, I didn't hire her because of her debt. He goes, I feel awful. I said, I don't know, what do you want me to say? If you don't think she can make it on the salary you're giving her, what can you do? Right?
Mm-hmm.
I hope she did fine to this day, but anyway, Russell, hopefully see you in the spot next week. I miss you.
I miss you,
by the
too.
Way, thanks for calling in, buddy. SP Futures still up 23, 25 now. Looks like a good day today in the market. We'll be back tomorrow on Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.